Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We begin today with the Grand Rapids Police Department. For more than a year now, a task force has reviewed the department's policies and operations that could lead to racial disparities in policing. The task force was formed after a study found black drivers were twice as likely to be stopped by Grand Rapids police. The relationship between the police and communities of color in Grand Rapids has been especially fraught in recent years. Several innocent and unarmed black children have been arrested, handcuffed, or had a gun drawn on them by police in the past 2 years. And that's led to community outrage and demands for serious reform. Last month, the task force released a list of 38 recommendations for the department aimed at reducing racial disparities and addressing these community concerns. Yesterday, Police Chief David Rohinski went before the City Commission to present his plan for implementing these changes. Grand Rapids Police Chief David Rohinski is with us now. Welcome, Chief.
Thanks for having me.
So this task force had a long, long list of changes that are going to take time to implement. I'm interested for you. What are the very first and most important steps?
So I should clarify, some of the steps, we haven't been waiting for the recommendations to come out in total to tackle the steps that needed to be addressed immediately. So one of the first steps we identified as being important was a youth policy that would give additional direction and discretion to officers regarding when to handcuff youthful or juvenile individuals that they would come in contact with. So as to your earlier statement, we had some high-profile incidents where juveniles were suspected of being in possession of a handgun. That led to handcuffing, which ultimately led to a lot of public discourse. So that one of the first things we did was created a youth interaction policy with input from community stakeholders and the police department.
So what's different with that youth interaction policy?
So a couple of things. I think first and foremost was the public education part. In the two incidents that were most high profile, ultimately firearms were not discovered on the individuals. That being said, we had a very robust conversation with community stakeholders that when someone calls 911 and says they see a young person with a gun, we have to respond as though a gun is in play. Secondly was additional training for officers in terms of empowering them to use their discretion. I think traditionally law enforcement has really been governed by policy and procedures and operating on a worst-case scenario mindset. We really encouraged our officers to treat young people like young people and to look at the totality of the circumstances when making judgments. So training is important, but so is common sense and discretion.
When it comes to recommendations, Chief, for staffing and for recruiting, what do you see as the plans for that area that would reduce these racial disparities in policing?
So one of the things that we heard repeatedly from community was that they didn't feel as though the Grand Rapids Police Department was fully invested in community policing. And we explained that about 8 years ago in 2010, this was a department that was staffed with over 400 sworn personnel. When the economy got tough here in Michigan, the department reduced in size by almost 25%. We went down to under 300 sworn. So on any given night, officers generally are responding from call to call to call. So the ability to walk the parks, be present in the schools, walk the business districts, and really get to know the people who were sworn in to serve and create relationships built on trust, that eroded. So if we're going to be a fixture in the community, and as opposed to just triaging and responding to emergency calls for service, we're going to have to get back to previous staffing levels. So on November 27th, we'll go in front of City Commission with a request to bring in a consultant to do a staffing and deployment study so we can really be robust enough to fulfill what we're hearing from the community, which is they want a relationship with the police department that consists of more than just us responding to calls for service.
I'm speaking with Grand Rapids Police Chief David Rohinski about how the department will be implementing recommendations from a task force designed to reduce racial disparities. Chief, having the trust of the community, it is very important to a police department to do its job well. I don't need to tell you that. And in recent community forums, black residents have talked about how hard it is to trust police given this fraught history. Let's listen to a few of these voices.
I don't see nothing coming of it. When I first moved here, they was doing these same type of forums, and it was for the adults. Now it's the kids.
It doesn't do anything to hold officers accountable to not targeting minorities. So that's really what the problem is. The policy is not written in a way that changes anything. And when the outcomes are still the same, then it's a problem and something needs to change from it.
If a criminal broke into my house tonight, I trust the criminal faster than I would the police.
That was Juanita Ligon, Tavian Moore, and Elaine Howell as they spoke at a recent community forum about this new youth interaction policy. That last comment, Chief, how did that make you feel, that I would trust the criminal before I would trust the police?
So in that particular incident, we had had an encounter with Mrs. Ligon and her daughter. We had been called to her residence based upon a neighbor hearing shots fired, and officers responded accordingly. And unfortunately, that wasn't the case. So I'm very sensitive to her emotional response. I can understand it, and I recognize the situation that she was placed in was very unfortunate, but I also recognize that we've got an obligation when someone calls 911 and says that shots were fired from in front of or from within the neighbor's home. We've got a duty to respond. And unfortunately, those outcomes aren't always what we would want as a department, what we would want as a community.
And so taking that more deeply, how do you rebuild trust with people who feel like things aren't going to change? We've seen talk before, but we haven't seen change. How do you rebuild that trust?
So I think first, we can point to some very tangible changes. We've been very successful as of late in hiring more diverse groups of officers. I think that's important, that the police department mirror the makeup of the community in terms of building trust and rapport. We can point to training that we've undertaken. So the traffic stop was self-initiated. That was introspective. We wanted to make sure that our policing efforts weren't resulting in disparate outcomes. So that was something we undertook proactively. We then went through a CALEA assessment, which is a commission for accreditation of law enforcement agencies, something only 10% of the police departments around the country actually have done. So we invited outside assessors to come in and vet our department, look at all our policies, do public interviews, and look at the department, and we achieved that accreditation. More recently, we received recognition from the New York University School of Law. They came and recognized Grand Rapids as one of 5 cities across the nation that are doing unique things regarding community outreach. We also have undertaken training initiatives that have included community stakeholders. So I think we've made some very concrete, very tangible steps that we can all point to collectively as showing that we've got momentum, we've got energy, and we're moving the needle.
Chief, what about you? Has all of this changed the way you feel or you think about policing and about race and community policing?
So I try to be sensitive. I've been in the profession for over 3 decades, and I think I bring my lifetime of experience to that role. But I recognize it's a very big ask to put that same expectation on a 21, 22-year-old police officer who doesn't have the life experience, doesn't have maybe the historical background to recognize some of these issues in their proper context. So the same way that we ask officers to be empathetic with community and the role that we serve in terms of trying to fulfill their wants and needs, I also ask community to be empathetic with the young men and women who are wearing the uniform, oftentimes responding to calls with very little information, responding with the best of intentions, but sometimes the outcomes aren't what the officers would hope for. And unfortunately, that is at times the nature of law enforcement, but I'm proud of the work that our men and women do. I'm proud of the level of commitment. I'm proud of their character and professionalism. So I think at my age, it's a little easier for me to be introspective, but I try to be appreciative of the work that the young people who wear this uniform every day and go out to serve the community do.
Chief, how will you measure success of the new policies, this revised direction for the department?
So I think we're seeing it now. I think the fact that we have community meetings and they're attended by a good number of people, that tells me that they've got confidence in the process. If we held these community input sessions and no one came, that would send a message to me that they think there's a disconnect between what they intend to share with us and what we're going to put in action. But the fact that people continue to come out, continue to share their concerns with the expectation that they're going to see change, I think sends the right message. So this is a very engaged community. It's a police department that really has a unique bond with the community we serve. Some of the things we've done here in Grand Rapids, from teaching inner city baseball to being assigned full time at the Boys and Girls Clubs to having a presence at summer camps, are unique. And I think that relationship continues to get better.
So, Chief, what are the immediate next steps? How are you prioritizing the actions that you want to take?
So I think most importantly, and it sounds self-serving, but the staffing and deployment study on November 27th. So we're an agency of 295 sworn. 8 years ago, we had over 400 officers. So consistently, I go to community meetings and I hear from community stakeholders, I used to know the officer who patrolled my neighborhood. I used to see you guys out on foot. I used to see you at the parks. I don't see that anymore. And that really is a result of the reduction in staffing. So first and foremost, is on the 27th, we'll go in front of City Commission. We'll get that staffing and deployment study funded, get it underway, and then I want to get back to staffing levels that allow us to do more than just triage public service. That doesn't give us a chance to build the trust that we need.
Grand Rapids Chief of Police David Rohinsky, we want to thank you for your time, and we certainly look forward to speaking with you again on Stateside.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.